Hi everyone, welcome to the IoT Show Deep Dive. Thank you for waiting on the live chat right now. I'm here with Chris Green, who's also on the Azure IoT team, and we're gonna be talking about building with plug and play with the solutions and also how to certify your devices. So this is perfect for you device makers out there. It's perfect for you solution developers out there. So we're really excited for you to join. Chris, did you want to give a little background on what you're working on?
Well, thanks for having me on the show today. I'm really excited to be here. I'm the PM lead for IoT Plug and Play in the Azure IoT product group. Our team is the platform team, so we own things like IoT Hub, the SDKs, IoT Edge, and a few other things. I've actually brought a whole team with me here today to present the various aspects of Plug and Play, since it's a really big topic and there's a lot of great technology we want to show.
Yeah, we have a party. We have about four other people who'll be joining us, giving live technical demos. We're also going to be doing some whiteboarding as well. Yep. So maybe we'll just jump right into it. Those who've never been to a deep dive, we have these monthly, and also it's live. So if you have a question, I'm here as your host. So I will be on chat, looking down on my computer, and if you have a question, I'll make sure it gets answered. All right, so maybe let's go ahead and get started.
Sure.
So for the agenda today, Chris is going to give an overview of what is Plug and Play, because we did a huge announcement at Build. Mm-hmm. We also did a big announcement a couple weeks ago that
That's
we
right.
went public preview,
That's right.
which is awesome.
Yeah, we shipped.
People have been waiting so patiently for this, because we're hearing a lot of folks out there who are very interested in how do we simplify that experience from connecting a device from the device maker to a solution developer when building an IoT solution. So I'm gonna go ahead and let Chris run and go ahead and show your
sure.
do an overview.
Absolutely. Yeah. So for those of you who may not be as familiar with Plug and Play, we really introduced this to solve a real challenge that we're seeing with many of our customers and partners in the market, where you know they'll take our stack of technology to go and implement an IoT solution, but quite often what we have come to realize is however they do that, that when it comes to integrating these IoT products or devices with that cloud solution, that it ends up that they're very tightly coupled to that solution. There's this essentially a custom data contract between the device and that solution that isn't really portable at all. And so what we're trying to do is decouple those two aspects in order to provide solution builders with an ecosystem of products that they can choose from to easily integrate into their solution. And it turns out that we've seen a very similar challenge in the past with Windows, right? Where in the beginning, in the early versions of Windows, when you wanted to try and connect to maybe a peripheral like a printer, it was really complicated in order to do that. You'd have to, you know, get a bunch of drivers, know which ones to use, install them, hopefully see them work. And so how did we solve that at Microsoft? Well, we used Windows Plug and Play, where we introduced essentially a protocol and a technology to allow these peripherals to declare themselves to Windows and describe what they can do. And that really unlocked this, you know, peripheral ecosystem and made things a lot easier for Windows users. So we've borrowed the name and the concept and taken that to IoT, where we're now introducing IoT Plug and Play to allow, again, for solution builders to very quickly and easily integrate IoT Plug and Play devices and start building out solutions using those. We're developing and fostering an ecosystem of these hardware products and appealing to our device partners as well to start building their hardware products to support IoT Plug and Play. So Plug and Play is very much centered around device modeling. We've released an open definition language we call the digital twin definition language, which introduces a few modeling concepts that we're going to be talking about today and showing. So the first being the device capability model, which is really a JSON document that just declares a set of capabilities for that IoT product. And so the capability model can then be broken down into a set of reusable interfaces, each of which declare telemetry, commands, properties, and these are things that a device supports on its firmware or embedded code. So again, we'll be showing different aspects of that throughout the hour today.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm also excited that this is an open standard, too. I know there's a lot of standards already out there, and I think it's great, though, that we have this open source and that we're trying to find a way to make it easier for any of the device makers
Exactly.
getting started.
And,
yeah,
and
it, a starting point.
IoT Plug and Play is completely open. Yeah. There's no additional charge to use it on Azure, so we're trying to make it as open as possible.
Perfect. Yeah.
So that kind of wraps up the intro, and now we have Sandeep, who's going to be able to show some of this in action.
All right, for our next person, thank you so much, Chris.
No problem.
All right, so now we're going to go into, for those solution developers out there, Sandeep is joining us. He's going to be giving a demo into IoT Central and showing us what are some of the capabilities. For those who actually saw the video that we launched this Monday about IoT Central, this is an extenuation and we're gonna deep dive even more. So if you saw that video on Monday, don't worry, it's not just a rehash of it. We're gonna really deep dive in there. So hey, Sandeep, welcome to the Plug and Play party.
Thank you, thank you. Again, as I said, really excited to be here.
Yeah.
And so again, I'll sort of give a quick intro of what I'll be talking about and about myself as well. So I'm Sandeep Pujar. I am a program manager on the IoT solutions, IoT Central space, mostly focusing on device connectivity, device modeling, and plug and play is sort of a key piece there. So,
So
super excited to ship our public preview bits there, and we can talk a little more about that as well.
Perfect.
Cool. So I'll give a quick gist of what plug and play means for Central, right? So that we can sort of understand the overall sort of key values it unlocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it essentially unlocks two key motions or two key aspects of the whole thing, right? So one is simplifying IoT solution building all up, right? Again, when you think of it, Central was already doing a major part of it by simplifying the solution development aspect of it from the cloud side, right? So, so you didn't have to write a single line of code. You could go build a end-to-end solution pretty much within a few hours, literally, right? So that was already the promise of IoT Central. So what Plug and Play does is it sort of takes that one step forward, right? So it basically sort of makes it the simplification from the device all the way to the cloud, meaning the device development and the device aspects are also now simplified with plug and play, meaning now you can decouple the whole process where the device developer builds these the device code against the standard capability model that Chris was calling out, and then now you have these devices that are ready to go and sort of connect a solution. So that is one aspect, right?
That's great. One of the biggest feedback we were hearing with IoT Central is these examples are great on, let's say, the MX chip or other devices that we have in the examples, but what about my device? How do I make it easier? So it's great now that we have plug and play to continue that story.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, so as I said, that was the first aspect, and the second aspect, actually, you really nicely teed up, right? So the second aspect was we wanted to have a very, have a thriving ecosystem of device developers and the solution developers come onto the same place and then have this ecosystem build up, right? So Plug and Play basically enables that, meaning now you have device developers who can build against the standard capability model, certify their devices, and now they have this forum or now have this platform for on Central where they can publish these device capability models and devices. And from the solution builder's point of view, now they have a range of devices they can go pick off and then literally start the solutions off the place, right?
So that's great.
So if you look at it, first step was simplify. Second step was build this beautiful ecosystem so that it can build on itself.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that basically enables or quickens the overall IoT adoption and sort of the digital transformation. So that's the story.
Yeah, that's great. And I'll do a quick mention that with Plug and Play, we're showcasing with IoT Central, but you can also use IoT Hub as well. So Plug and Play has many different ways that you can use it.
Absolutely. Again, so to add on to it, any certified device that's out, any PNP certified device will automatically work with Central and every aspect of it.
Yeah, that's a question I've been getting a lot.
Absolutely. So what we'll do today is I'll quickly walk over a little more or more focused around the solution builders aspect. The previous video we had, we focused more on how to connect a device.
Yeah.
So we have an MX chip device, and we also have some tutorials out there we can very quickly use and then sort of get a device connected. What we will focus today is on the solution builders aspect of it.
Okay.
And highlight the point I was making where a solution builder can just come in and then pick a device and then get going with it, right? So we'll just look at that. So once so what you see on my screen is essentially the dashboard of our preview application, right? It looks fairly similar to what Central was, but it's got a lot of new features added underneath, right? So I'm going to go to device templates, and the moment I let's say we want to add a new device template for the solution. So you will see that the device catalog is sort of integrated already inside of instead of Central, right? So these are certified PNP devices that are available, and the solution developer can pick one of these devices and then get going. So for our demo purposes today, let's pick a camera, right? And then see how we can quickly build a solution of sorts on top.
Perfect.
So I already have, so the moment I selected that device, the device capability model, which Krish was calling out, got imported into Central, and now you have a device template. Along with it, we also created a bunch of default views so that you already have a sort of a jump start of sorts in building that solution, right? So these are the views part of it. These are the pages. These are the pages where you build the solution or the dashboard aspects of it. Mm-hmm. So they're already there out of the box. So let's look at one thing at a time. So let's save this for a minute. So if you look at the top section here, this is the entire device capability model that was built by the device developer and that was sort of certified as part of the process is now sort of imported or available inside of Central. So if you look at it, these are all the capabilities of the device, right? For example, there are elements of CPU usage, memory remaining, and a bunch of sort of aspects from the device itself. So you can look at all of those pretty quickly here, right? And the beauty of Central is you get some default aspects from the device already, like device capability models, but you want to add additional things on top from a cloud perspective. Meaning, let's say I want to sort of have this mobile sort of a camera, but I want to sort of put a location on top, right? So I just want to sort of add, let's say, I can add a cloud property. This is not coming from the device. This is something I want to annotate on the solution side, on the cloud side, right? So let's say I want to add a location here. So just add that. And PNP also provides a bunch of semantic types, meaning a much more richer way of expressing what the data is, and also has that kind of innate meaning, the semantic meaning of the data, right? So for example, I picked up location. So when I say location, it picks up the schema for that, which is a geo point, right? So it already is inbuilt in there, right? So you can the crux is you can add additional metadata or additional properties to the device in the cloud and then make your solution much more richer. So that is one aspect. The other aspect is you get standard, as I said, the capability model comes in. Mm-hmm. But as a solution developer, you want to customize it. You want to sort of say, let's say you got some names that you want to sort of update here, right? For example, let's say you have memory remaining here. You want to change that to something else, right?
Okay.
So you can quickly change that to something else right here, right? So I'm just going to change it to sort of, I'm just going to remove the remaining part of it and say memory, and then let's say save as an example, right?
And this will save on the IoT Central side, or what about on the device if you wanted to do any changes on the device side? Is this just on?
So this is on the solution side, on the Central side. Again, all of this customization is for the solution developer, so that he doesn't get stuck with whatever the device capability model comes with, right? So he can go change some of that, right? Mm-hmm. So that is the customization we're talking about. So then when you see that, you actually see that this has been customized as an element, right? Mm-hmm. So that is another additional aspect of the solution. So you can go customize some of this, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can, as we talked about, there are default dashboards that show up, but then you can go and customize them the way you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or add new pages, right? One of the key things that we've done in this version of Central is if you saw our current version, when you create a device, or a device template, you get standard sort of pages like measurements and settings and properties, right? And here, here it's kind of a free form. You go add views as fit for your device. And again, the idea is devices are different. Their experiences would be probably different, right?
Exactly.
So not every device will look the same. So you can optimize the experiences based on that. So that is the idea here, where you can go add as many views you want and then sort of create them, right? So what I'm trying to do right now is I'm essentially adding or modifying the view or the dashboard page for this device. So I'm just going to save it here. And let's go ahead and publish this device so that we can quickly add a simulated device and then start seeing the data showing. Right.
And for simulated devices, that's once you have plug and play, you can easily create the simulated devices.
Yes, so this is no different from what we have already inside of Central, where you can go create a device template and then add a simulated device so that you can quickly visualize how your experience is going to look like. Right. So go ahead and then add a simulated device here, and then we'll start quickly seeing the data there. Right. So that is the key aspect where we were able to quickly pick up a device capability model from the catalog and build an experience end to end pretty much within minutes. And we haven't even connected a single device, right? So once you have done this, you're happy with it, and you can go bring in a device and then sort of connect it and it should just work, right? Because the promise of certified devices is those devices are already being tested and tried with the plug and play interfaces and they just work, right? So that is the idea.
One question that I'm getting is, what happens if you have a development board and you give it to a bunch of different customers, but you don't know what type of sensor they're going to connect to it? What would you give as a recommendation for those folks?
Yeah, so we get that question pretty often, right? So again, that aspect would be when you're actually building a solution. That is when you basically author these device capability models. And Central has a first-class sort of support to actually build a capability model, right? So if you go to device templates here and say hit new and say start custom, I can say, it's going to give a custom template here for our demo purposes. And then you can create an interface as well. And then you can start adding the capabilities based on based on the point when you're adding these sensors and whatever the capabilities look like at that point. So certified devices is just not the only way to go about it. Like, you also have these devices that get to which the sensors get added later. And at that point, you can go define and add these capability models at that point. So
as
I said, it's like it can be a late binding thing as well.
Yeah.
So that's
great. Great. Well, thank you so much for showing this demo.
Perfect.
And it's looks like we have Miguel who's going to be next.
All right.
But this was a great view of, for the solution developers, what are some ways that they can customize it? For those solution developers, where's the best place to go? They're just the IoT Central docs, the plug and play docs?
IoT Central docs would be the right place to go.
Okay.
And again, we have specialized documentation for plug and play as well. So
perfect.
Again, if you already have the application, just go to give me 1 second. There are links off of the dashboard, so you can click on them and then go directly to the documentation for those.
Nice and easy. Right. The links are already there for you. Well, thank you so much, Sandeep.
Awesome.
Thanks for joining the party.
Thank
and
you.
We'll see you soon. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Thanks again.
Thanks. All right. By popular demand or popular request, bring back the whiteboard. So I have Miguel here, and he's going to be going over the plug-and-play architecture. So I'm going to actually get out of your way. But before I do that, do you want to give a little bit about what you're working on the Azure IoT team?
Sure thing. I'm Miguel Nunez. I'm working on the plug-and-play team. So we are developing the services that are needed to support PnP.
Nice. All right, I'll let you work your magic.
Yeah, so we're going to do high-level architecture of what PnP is behind the scenes.
Okay.
So let me move to the whiteboard, and let me scroll down here a little bit. So let's first go with some of the concepts on PnP. So I think we discussed about this before. So we have an interface. An interface really defines what are the capabilities of a component within a device. And essentially, we define what are the properties, what are the commands, what is the telemetry that a particular part of a device is capable of. And a device is based on multiple of these interfaces. They're all grouped in what we call a DCM, a device capability model. Let's give an sample of what this will be in the real world. So let's say that this DCM was describing a smart thermostat.
Okay.
Then this interfaces would define the temperature sensor or the humidity sensor, pressure, if it has a camera, things like that.
Okay.
So now that we establish what a DCM, what an interface is, and how they are grouped together, let's go on the starting point, which is a device. And this is PMP enable device one.
Okay.
It all starts with a call from this device to register what are the interface, the DCM and interfaces that that are registered for this smart thermostat. So it will send the DCM ID and the interface IDs for this device. This will be sent to IoT Hub. And then IoT Hub will acknowledge this device, will persist its registration, and generally be aware of that this is a smart thermostat, and these are the DCMs and interfaces that are supported. So at this point, IoT Hub is aware of this device.
Okay.
On the other end, we have what are the cloud solution builders. So on this end, we have an in-house application that is used to control this smart thermostat. So this is a cloud solution. And this now wants to get information from this device and possibly do some operations, fetch some information.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts interacting through a new endpoint that we made available in the IoT Hub, which is exposed through the digital twin PMP endpoint. And this endpoint allows cloud solutions to do a few interesting things. First off, it allows to set cloud properties, which we're going to discuss a little bit more later.
Okay.
Allows to send commands into the device for execution, synchronous execution. And it also allows to get the definition of the interfaces. So at this point, we've been talking in the context of IDs. So this is a DCM ID and an interface ID. Those RDs are defined in URN format, unique resource name.
Mm-hmm.
But we may want to get the actual contents of that interface, right? As part of this endpoint, we are also exposing functionality to go to what we call the PMP repository, which is a location that we made available for public preview, such that customers can start uploading their definitions into.
Okay.
So we have the PMP repository. And this repository has two main data stores, we can think of it that way, a private and a public. Private is meant for internal development. You have a user going and iterating as they try to define what are going to be these interfaces and DCMs.
Okay.
They may make some changes initially in the private repository. And once they're ready, they move their interfaces into what's the public repository. So if a cloud solution wants to get that definition of an interface, they can call our endpoint will go and fetch it from the public repository, public PMP repository.
Okay.
So we discussed a little bit about what's exposed on this endpoint, which is cloud properties. We also talked about commands. And the other one was resolving interface and DSM. From the perspective of the device typically interacts with what we call device properties. And it can also send telemetry. So now, what's the difference between a device property and a cloud property? Yeah. Device property, it's owned by the device. It's emitted by the device. Let's say that this is a device property that that tells the cloud what is the temperature on the device. So this is what a device property is meant for. While a cloud property is something that the cloud owns, let's say that it wants to set something into the device. Mm-hmm. Say that this device was modeled in a way that you want to update the set temperature on the device. So you use cloud properties to instruct the device, I want you to set the temperature to 70 Fahrenheit. Mm-hmm. This call goes into our endpoint. A message gets delivered into the device, and the device knows that it needs to increase or decrease the temperature in the room, and it starts emitting device property temperatures into the cloud.
Okay.
So that the cloud can monitor what was the state based on what was instructed. Mm-hmm. A command is just meant to execute something, an operation into the device. Let's say that you want to restart it or turn on or off a particular feature. Mm-hmm. And we discussed already what was the resolution of an interface. Do we have any questions?
Yeah, I think I actually have a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. One, I know that we have gateway support, and I know a lot of people working in manufacturing care about Modbus and OPC UA protocols and everything else on the device side, mm-hmm. and that we have native Modbus support. But what are some other support that we have with Plug and Play? And what are some ways where, since it's open, people can contribute?
Yeah. In the PNP repository, we've had, we created a library to validate and model what this files should be. Mm-hmm. So that tool is the one that is meant to validate, and it's meant to validate and upload the interfaces into their repository. So that is something that is going to be into public preview. And in the future, we also want the PMP, well, the repository aspect mm-hmm. of this to be public, such that customers do not have to rely on the repository and then create their own, essentially.
Okay, perfect. And so for folks who are interested in I2C and all of that, we don't have support right now, right?
We don't.
But it's something that they can add.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Perfect. And I don't think we have any additional questions on the live chat, but I think that a lot of people were interested in the, you know, what protocols we support now, mm-hmm. And then also support for the SDKs, for our SDKs. I think we have Node and C, but will we get support for other languages?
Yeah. So right now, the communication between the device and the hub is through MQTT.
Okay.
For public preview, we expose the C SDK. For GA, we want to enable this for all the languages for which we already have support in the hub. Okay. The communication between the cloud solution and the PMP endpoint is through HTTP calls.
Okay, mm-hmm. Perfect. And then I know digital twins is a hot, hot topic. And you made a mention of digital twins right there with the naming. Does that have anything to do with digital twins or any feedback there?
Yeah. So digital twins is the way that we envision modeling not only devices, but physical spaces. And devices being one of those aspects to that ecosystem, that's why we decided to model our APIs in a digital twin format. Okay. And all the digital twin elements, not only devices, are going to be speaking the same PMP language. So that's our vision on digital twins.
So if you see that, don't get confused. Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Miguel. This is, you know, people wanted to bring back the whiteboarding, and I love whiteboarding. So this was great. This was great. Even your sick person was spot on.
Thank you.
That was awesome. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Miguel. And then if people have questions, they can continue to put those into chat. We also have the IoT tech community as well, where they can reach out. And if they have more feedback or questions, we can bring them to you.
Absolutely. We love feedback.
Yes, yes.
Good to be here.
Yes, thank you. All right. Oh, I love the handshake. All right, we're going to bring back Chris. I know it's a talk show. Guest. It's like we've never seen each other. We're on the same team. All right, so we're bringing back Chris, and he's going to be giving another demo, especially for those device makers.
That's right. So we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about the device building process and certification process to give a bit more insight. We've done a lot of investment to really make that much more seamless and scalable for our device partners. So first off, if I can just advance my slide here, I'll just give kind of an overview of what this process would look like for a device builder so that they can build out products that are enabled with IoT plug and play and have them work seamlessly with Azure. So, you know, we've talked a lot about device modeling, so that's a key first step, right? We want to model the behavior of the product or the device that a partner is building such that it can establish this contract with Azure on how it can work with Azure.
Okay.
So that's a key first step, and to make that easier for our customers and partners, we've partnered with our team in VS Code to enable some tooling to provide an ability to do some modeling of that capability model and interfaces, so authoring the model itself, and then to build out some code that will implement the model. So some code generation is also built in, and I'm going to show a bit of this in the demo. So you know, once the model is established and defined, then a builder would build out the application or firmware that supports that model behavior.
Okay.
And so that's easily done with our SDK. So you mentioned you were talking with Miguel about our SDK. So we have our service SDK, which is for solution builders, and then our device SDK. And for plug and play, we've enabled a set of APIs in the CSDK to more easily build out these devices. And so that would, you know, that's a key step to then build out that application or firmware. And once that's done, a partner can then go and certify with Azure. Mm-hmm. And so with this public preview, we've introduced a new catalog portal that allows builders to log in to manage their products that they want to submit for certification and even go through the validation directly through the portal. So this is a big step towards allowing us to serve our partners better by giving them a faster turnaround to certify and publish these devices into our device catalog. And so once they certify and these products are showcased in our catalog, we have a standalone catalog website where you can go as a solution builder and find suitable devices. We're also showing them, as Sandeep, I think, showed in the previous demo, those devices will show up right in Central itself. Oh, and I clearly forgot to disable my notifications, but
you're good.
My boss is calling me.
the big guy.
Yeah.
With that device catalog, lots of times when I was working with partners and customers building these solutions, a lot of questions were which devices have support for what. So mm-hmm. I think the device catalog, we've been, especially internally, but also with our partners, have been definitely driving folks to this device catalog mm-hmm. just so they can see what has been certified already. Yeah. And so far, we have quite a few plug-and-play devices yeah. already certified.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and they're pre-certified. Since we're in a preview right now, we're calling them pre-certified because between now and GA, we will have those partners go and formally certify based on our mm-hmm. GA bit. But yeah, we do have a number of great partners who have gone and invested in plug and play already because they see the, such strong potential with it.
And then what about Azure Sphere? Like, what about the, do we have a template for Azure Sphere for plug and play?
It's coming. We're working with our partners in Sphere. So Sphere provides its own essentially device SDK that builds on top of the one that we provide in Azure IoT. And so they're working on exposing the same digital twin APIs as in that SDK as well.
Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. I have one more other question. When we're talking about the interfaces, the unique ID, is that globally unique or is that something set by the manufacturer?
So it's set by the manufacturer based on their own namespace. So okay. they'll claim a namespace that will typically correspond to maybe their website domain, and then from there on they can define the ID for that model. And then okay. once it goes into our global model repository, it's claimed globally. So that
okay,
then they own that ID.
Great, yeah. great.
So why don't we switch over into the actual demo? So I'm just going to exit out of this. And the first thing I'm going to show is the VS Code portion of the demo. Is this rendering okay? I just want to make sure that I just saw my screen resolution change, so I just want to make sure it's showing up okay. Okay, so why don't I just reboot or plug it in again and see if this will fix the problem. Technical issues, folks.
We're live.
Live TV. This happens.
Well, why are you pulling up?
Is that okay? We got it now. Great. So, as I said, we've partnered with the VS Code team. Mm-hmm. They have a bundle of extensions called the Azure IoT Tools extension that provides a whole set of functionality around building IoT devices or integrating with IoT Hub. And so they've exposed some commands in VS Code to get you started with authoring a plug-and-play model. So first, you have a question?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
You sounded
we
like you wanted to
say
something.
So you're in VS Code now,
yeah.
but you can use Visual Studio. And people have seen past deep dives. I think described a lot that I'm a fangirl for VS Code mm-hmm. And the extensions, but we do have support with Visual Studio. We also have support through our command line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, we've introduced a bunch of different tooling for plug and play. So the IDE features are in VS Code. You can build our SDK mm-hmm. using Visual Studio.
Yeah.
We also have CLI, the Azure CLI will have plug and play support. And then there's yet another tool called the Azure IoT Explorer, which is more of a GUI tool, but again, just helps in the development cycle. So coming back to VS Code, so I'm starting up a new project to author a model for my device. And when I bring up the command extension after installing the IoT Tools extension, I bring up the command palette, and I can see that there are a set of commands related to IoT plug and play. So what I want to do first is just start with modeling an interface. So I'm just going to hit that, and it's going to ask me, well, I need a folder where I'm going to basically create this, mm-hmm. this project. So I'll go ahead and do that in my demo folder and just call this Chris and Sensor. You can guess what device I'm going to build. We often use this in our samples. And then I give the interface a name, so I'm just going to call it environmental sensor. And again, you know, think of these interfaces as being reusable across products or devices. So you want to think about, okay, how can I normalize different kind of groups of functionality mm-hmm. into reusable interfaces. So if I had several products that use this same environmental sensor interface, I can define that. So once I, you know, run that command, it creates a default JSON interface document. And this just is kind of like a starting point to give some examples. And so, you know, I can go and kind of just maybe modify this, or I can start from scratch.
Okay.
You know, a key thing coming back to the ID question, so I can put in my own, so I'll just call it Chris G Corp. So that, again, will be the base namespace for all of my interfaces and models.
Okay, makes sense.
So if I go through, you know, I can see again, there's some examples here that I've filled in. But one nice thing about using VS Code is if I want to add anything new, I'm just going to add a comma so it gets rid of that squiggly. I can, you know, start entering based on the DTDL, what are the different, values that I have to fill in for each of the new capabilities that I'm trying to add. So I'm just going to add a new telemetry point. So this one is going to be for humidity.
Okay.
So the type being telemetry, I can add descriptions or comments. But one, you know, I've got a number of required and optional fields I can fill in. One required one is the actual name. So the name then becomes exposed in when I, as a solution developer, try to interact with this IoT device, I can reference that telemetry point by this name.
Okay.
It also requires that I use I specify the schema. So think of the schema as the type. So you can have simple types, which are listed here. Mm-hmm. You can also have more complex types or objects.
Some examples there.
So if I want to maybe describe like a multiple data point object that might have, you know, a combination of, you know, telemetry and humidity and maybe some derived properties.
Okay.
So I would be able to define that in a more complex object. So this one I'm going to, again, describe as a double. And then those are the required fields. Again, I can add more later. And so really the next step is then I want to sort of capture all of this in a capability model, which is sort of the base model file that I use to give you a kind of a clear image of all of the capabilities that are described, including any reusable interfaces that I'm using. So I'm going to call this environmental sensor X100. So this corresponds to like a product or a SKU that I'm going to be building. So this is like a physical product. Rather than something that I would expect to be reusable across different products.
Okay.
So I'll go ahead and do that. And again, it kind of auto fills in some of the portions of the capability model. I'll again set up the base namespace. And then the other thing I want to do is within the capability model, you're declaring which are the interfaces that this device will implement. I can see that there's one already filled in, which is what we call a standard interface. So standard interfaces are ones that Microsoft has gone and predefined that we want to encourage, and in fact, if you're certifying, will require that all plug-and-play devices support those interfaces. And the real benefit of that is that when these products are used in a solution, that developers who are building those solutions can expect a common or core set of functionality, which is really beneficial. So whatever device I plug in, I always know that I'm going to be able to query the device properties through the device information interface. So that's already there. And then I'm just going to add the other one, which is the one that I just defined. So I'm going to give it the interface ID. Just a quick copy-paste here. And then I'll also give it a name. So the name allows, again, for me to reference this interface through our APIs. And so I'm just going to call it an sensor. And that's a really simple example, but I'm done. So again, going back to the wheel that I showed, the next step would be I got to build out the application or firmware code to support this behavior. And to do that, we've enabled some features in VS Code to go and actually build out some stubbed out code that I can start with. So to do that, I brought up the command palette. I'm going to specify the capability model. And then I'm going to give the project name. So I'll just call this sample app 1 and hit enter. Right now, we only support this for C, but our ambition is to support all the SDK languages. And then I can build this out using CMake. One last option is, do I want to connect this directly to an IoT hub? Or do I want to provision this device through DPS, which ends up being a requirement also for our certification?
So that I would, all devices need to go through device provisioning
that's
service?
That's right, yes. Okay. Yeah. Because another requirement for certification is that it works with DPS and it also works with Central. We want to ensure that for our customers that when they pick up a plug-and-play device that they can see that compatibility across these services. So I'm going to choose that option. And once I do that, VS Code goes ahead and will actually build out the scaffolding for that project. And so it brings up a new window, and then I can see on the left there that I've got a set of C files, and you know a lot of the code for connecting with IoT Hub, for provisioning via DPS, even functions related to the environmental sensor interface are all kind of pre-populated, even with some fake data there. So
that's nice.
It's a nice way to get started. We've got a bit more work to do in terms of just more capabilities we want to add to this, but it's a really good start to get going with building out this firmware. I'll skip ahead because we're doing a bit of a baking show, but the next step I'm going to go to is the actual certification process.
Okay, perfect. And before we go there, are we able to store links, like for example, to image files, user manual, PDFs, or 3D schematics, maybe like a CAD file or something like that, in the capability model or the interface?
Yeah, right now, our expectation is that type of thing would be done outside of the capability model.
Okay.
So for example, in fact, this might be a good segue, but if we go to our certification portal, which we've just launched, I can actually start specifying or creating new products under my own tenant. So as a device builder, I would have a tenant. I can create these products, and then I can associate different collateral with that product. So for example, if I go to, I've sort of built out a product for this sample that I've been working on, and if I go and look at that, I can see a bunch of more, I'd say, marketing information about the product. So I've got, a description, I've got some specs about the physical shape and size. I can even include links to marketing pages or where to go and purchase the device. And all of this will end up showing in the device catalog. So when a solution builder goes to pick up one of these products, they can learn more information, they can go and buy one, they can download firmware, all of the above.
Okay, perfect. And if that's a feature that, or any type of feature that you're seeing that maybe we don't have right now, definitely ping us on IoT Tech Community. There'll be a link at the end. So if that's something you do want, instead of going to this product page, just let us know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
From here, I've created a product. And so now I want to certify this device that I've implemented. How do I do that? Well, that's pretty easy now with the new portal. I can go and run the connect and test step for any new product that I've entered. So to do that, when I bring that up, it gives me a series of steps I need to go through in order to connect my product to the service, go through the certification process, and then publish it to the catalog. So in this example, first of all, I need to select an authentication method. Today we support symmetric keys as well as X509. And so once I do that, I'm given a set of credentials that I can use to provision this device into our certification service. So that includes the symmetric key, registration ID, DPS ID. So all of that I would either enter into the code or more preferably configure the device through like a many of them, like the one that Sandeep was showing, has like a Wi-Fi access point connection that you can go to and enter these things as kind of a configuration step. So I've gone and done that already with the test application that I've built. So I'm just going to go and run that. So I'm just running that as a simulated device on my desktop, just for the sake of speed. And so it's going to start up and start connecting and provisioning into this certification service and sending telemetry. And you can see, you know, that's starting to happen now. So next I'm going to hit connect to tell the certification service to, you know, start watching for traffic from this device. So now it's connected, and if I go to the next step, I can see that through the registration and discovery process that Miguel talked about, the service can now see all of the interfaces that are supported by this device and registered. So the device information, so it's all done by this reflection that the service can do on the device itself. So device information, environmental sensor, which was the one I created, and then there's another one which is just natively supported by our SDK to give info about, you know, what version and language is being used. So next, I can go ahead and start running the tests. And so to do that, you know, in the previous step, I may need to enter some information. Sometimes these are required fields in order to let the device work properly. But once I do that, I can go ahead and kick off the test. And so now the certification service is going and exercising each of those capabilities that were declared in the model.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's, you know, listening for telemetry, it's sending commands, it's setting and getting properties. And so as it goes through that process, I can watch that it's happening. I can even look at logs, like if something, you know, heaven forbid, didn't work, I can go and figure out why.
Okay.
Luckily, in this case, you know, it's all pretty simple, so it's straightforward.
You've done this a couple times.
I've made sure it was going to work for the demo. So then, you know, once I go through and pass the test results for each of the interfaces, really the last step then is to go and publish to the catalog. So now, you know, it's considered certified. I do have the next step, and I can just go and publish it to the catalog, which is where our solution builders will find it.
Nice. And is it easy to edit that page afterwards with the details and description in the portal?
You can, yes. You can come back in. You can manage all of your marketing information about the product. One other step I didn't talk about during this demo was publishing your models to the model repository. So that's where the certification service will retrieve these models. So I can also use the portal here to manage those interfaces. So there's a bunch of them. Unfortunately, some of them are sort of test ones that we've been using since this is a test environment. But I can manage my models and interfaces there. I can see which ones have gone into the public repo you know, be able to manage those life cycles.
This is great. Yeah. I'm really excited about this. And I love that the experience is a lot better when going into our device catalog. I know your team has been spending a lot of time improving that experience.
We definitely want to build out a large ecosystem. And so we thought these tools would really help that happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much,
sure.
Chris. I think we got everyone's questions there.
Good.
So
all right.
Thank you for coming here. We got one more demo, especially for those OEM developers out there. But thank you so much. I won't give you a handshake. We've known each other for a couple years. So
yeah, you bet.
Bye, Chris.
Okay, bye.
All right, we're going to have Peniel come. She's on the Plug and Play team as well. And she's going to be giving a demo, especially for those OEM folks out there on the device. The device makers. So she's going to be showcasing discovery of these models.
Yep.
Yeah. And did you want to give a little bit of what you're doing on the Plug and Play team?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So I am working in the Azure IoT Device SDK team. And as part of this, I will be demoing the model definition specifically that comes under model discovery interfaces.
Okay, perfect.
The idea is that, again, the model definition, same thing as the DTDL, is something that we want to either have it on one global repo or the private repo, as Chris showed. And it can also live on the device itself. So the idea here is to register an interface on the device that can support getting this model definition that can be used.
Okay, perfect.
So I'm gonna, for this demo, I will be using Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. We will be using the C SDK that has the plug-and-play support, and also the Azure IoT Explorer tool.
And this is a brand new tool, right?
It's a new tool, and it's also a free tool. You can find the link in the resources again, but also here. Okay. All right. Are we good now?
Oh, there we go.
Oh, okay.
Plugging in.
Yes.
So we can show her laptop.
Yep. All right. Mm-hmm. So that's the IoT Explorer tool that we are going to use. I'm going to go over just a quick little bit of where we can find the source code for the digital twin or plug-and-play support. On the C SDK, you just want to go to public preview PNP branch, and all of it can be found under digital twin client. We are specifically going to go for the sample interface. In this case, it's environmental sensor that we are going to query the DTDL for.
Okay.
But for that, of course, the device needs to support the model definition interface, mm-hmm. and that's what we are going to go through. This is, in this tool, I already created a device. If you look at the My Sensor, right now there is no other interfaces registered on this. This is just a model information which gives you the interfaces that the device supports.
Okay.
It shows all the interfaces. Right now, if you just see, that's just model discovery. So now we are going to go through the sample. In C SDK, you want to build a sample device for this, which is registering all this interfaces that is required, especially the environmental sensor, which is what we are interested in.
And this is the model that lives on the actual device. It's nowhere else, right? It's just on the device.
The environmental sensor DTDL is just on the device. It's not published to the model, the company repository or the global repo.
Okay.
And that's a good question, because the next thing I wanted to show is that, let's go back to this device, and if you see now, all this other interfaces, DTDL, and the information is published here. We were interested in the environmental sensor interface, so I'll just show how the DTDL for this looks like, and if you see, this is the ID.
Okay.
That I'm going to request the DTDL for. So let's go to the model definition. And for that,
and while you're pulling up, while you're pulling this up, can you give the main scenario on why you would just want the model on the device side? Is this more for kind of the prototyping stage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, whenever you want to have, like, maybe for OEMs who are in the prototyping stage and they just want to have the model on the device.
Without being published.
Without being published to the, or even using the private repository. So just for any reason that they can have it on the device and also get queried. But, of course, we have a repository support for, like, smaller devices. You don't want to store it on the device itself. Which,
that makes sense.
Yeah, which can be stored on the private repo. So if you look at this, the model definition interface has a support for the command called get model definition, and that's what we are going to test. So we are going to go to the command and put the ID for environmental sensor.
Okay.
And this shows that it successfully got the interface, which is because we have the support for the model definition on the device.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So we can also show where the IoT Explorer tool information is. There's one more thing I wanted to show on the tool, is that if you go to the device and then on the setting, you can also add your company repository information here.
Oh, nice.
And
okay.
The other thing is that you can have this order switch so that the way the DTDL is looked for is maybe you want to search it on the device first before going to the public repo, and you can switch this order here and have it done that way.
So it would just go to the first available one?
Yeah, it would go to the device first. Yeah. If it doesn't find the interface DTDL on device, it goes to the public repo in this scenario.
Okay, perfect.
But by default, it's the public repo and then the device. And if you have a company repository, then add a connection string here.
What would be the benefit for them to swap them? Let's say you have both of those options, choosing the device over the one that's in the public.
I mean, it will be the unique ID for your interface, but it would be beneficial to just for the discovery of the model, as it's on the device, you know that, and you want to maybe prioritize that.
Okay.
Compared to, or the models that you, most of the models you're storing on the device, let's say, and there's only a few of them which is on the public repo, then in that case, it might make sense to prioritize,
yeah,
like switch this on connected device first.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. It's great seeing this. And then example code, the sample, where can we find this?
Yes, so that's on the CSDK. You want to go to the public preview PNP branch.
Okay.
And that's already here. And the digital twin client. The source code is here, and the samples for this, for the sample device, environmental sensor model definition, that's all here.
Okay, perfect.
Also, all the documentation of how to build it, all that is also in here.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And is that linked from our Microsoft Docs at the moment?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
perfect.
There's a link. Yeah.
Like more ways for us to find it.
Yeah.
So this is great. Any top feedback to give to or insights that you want to give to the device makers at the moment?
For the model definition, there's one more thing is that it's optional interface, so the device doesn't need to have it.
Yeah.
It's just for like maybe the embedded OEMs, just like for them, it's probably a good idea to use the cloud repository instead of storing it on the device to to use for the size constraints.
That makes
memory
sense.
Constraints.
That definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you.
And you're actually our last guest.
Yeah.
The last person at the party. So thanks for coming here.
Thank you.
And for, I think we're going to pull up our resource slide real quick. But if you're interested in learning more, I reference IoT tech community a lot during this deep dive, but I'm actually going to be posting these slides on the IoT tech community later today. So if you're interested in getting the slides, if you're also interested in learning more about plug and play, check out the other IoT show videos for the intros. And then this will be on demand. And if you have any type of feedback on what you want in the future for deep dives, let me know. I'm open to any type of suggestion. You can find me on Alta Ohms on Twitter, or you can find me on IoT Tech Communities. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, have a good day. Bye.